1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. During Thursday's arguments, Supreme Court justices seemed inclined to preserve some form of immunity for presidents after they leave office, just not the absolute immunity Donald Trump is demanding.
Presidential immunity is imperative, or you practically won't have a country anymore.
Trump in New York City during a break in his hush money trial.
If you don't have immunity, you're not going to do anything. You're going to become a ceremonial president.
In the trial, Trump's lawyers will continue their cross-examination of David Pecker, former publisher of the National Enquirer. For 3 days, Pecker's been explaining the Enquirer's catch-and-kill operation to help Trump in 2016. In Macomb County, Michigan, north of Detroit, Noor Noel Kestu was charged with involuntary manslaughter in connection with a March 4th explosion at a building he owns in which a canister of nitrous oxide was propelled through the air, striking and killing another man. This is ABC News. Pro-Palestinian demonstrations spread to more college campuses. The University of Southern California canceled commencement.
Instead of a graduation ceremony, USC now saying it will have what it calls activities and celebrations to honor commencement. It's because of safety concerns one day after anti-Israel protesters fought with police and riot gear on campus, and debate has been growing about USC's pro-Palestinian valedictorian who the school banned from speaking at the ceremony. Now there won't be a ceremony.
ABC's Alex Stone in Atlanta.
Emory, the university says a few dozen people came onto campus who are actually not members of the school community. They set up tents in the quad and began to clash with police. At UC Berkeley, an encampment grew overnight. Students say they will not leave until the school cuts all ties with Israeli schools and companies with ties to arms suppliers. And they want the University of California to formally recognize Israel's actions as genocide.
ABC's Phil Lipoff. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin's flagship campus in Madison is slipping in the global and national rankings. The Wall Street Journal ranks it 79th. Internationally, UW-Madison has fallen to as low as 102nd in one ranking. Authors of the UW's internal studies say the UW-Madison gets fewer federal research grants. People who need a few hundred bucks in a hurry can take out loans on smartphone apps, but consumer advocates warn of steep hidden costs. Lucia Constantine is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
They are trapping consumers in a cycle of borrowing that is similar to that of a payday loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers draft a left tackle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. The Packers picked Jordan Morgan, a left tackle out of Arizona, in the first round. Morgan says he's watched a lot of tape of former Packer David Bakhtiari over the years.
Really strong arms, really strong upper body, and he can really lock people up, which is where I get my game from. I like to just lock people up and stalemate, and I mean, he's just a dog.
At the 25th pick, did the Packers ever consider taking offers to trade down? GM Brian Gutekunst.
There was a couple things we were looking at to, you know, to make, you know, kind of looking at if it did it make sense to move move backwards at the end of the day because Jordan was available. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make sure we secured the player.
Iowa defensive back Cooper DeJean was not selected. He'll still be available tonight in rounds 2 and 3. Baseball. The Brewers with a 7-5 win over the Pirates thanks to a 2-run homer by Gary Sanchez. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, he's a veteran hitter, and he's given us a big lift doing that. I mean, it won the game for us.
NBA. The Bucks and the Pacers in Indy tonight for game 3 of their playoff series. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies to take us here through the overnight. Mid and upper 30s for lows, and we'll have a southeast breeze. On Friday, more clouds on the way. Look for some shower opportunities in the afternoon. We'll see highs in the mid and upper 50s, southeast winds on the gusty side. It's 33 at our studios.
Crude and Dom.
Trump trial, more Packer talk, and your Friday grievances. Only on the Devil's Advocates radio show. You made it to the weekend.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. The talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. No matter where you're listening, you can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, if you ever want to get in touch with the show directly, you can email it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. And we will see that. And if you have suggestions for guests or something going on in your community, no matter where you are, please let us know. Email us at janesays@civicmedia.us. Coming up at 11:20, Brewers trivia.
Yeah!
Greg has been furiously searching for a trivia question for you. We have Brewers tickets. Brewers hosting the Yankees Saturday night at 6:10. We have a pair of tickets for that coming up at 11:20. And then 11:33, as he does every other Thursday at this time, the Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, will be here. We're going to talk about the Bucks, the NFL draft, and I want to talk about Caitlin Clark's shoes.
Me too. I've got questions.
Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot then joining us to round out the show at 11:50 with a little weather and wine, and let us know what we can expect as we start heading into the weekend. We're going to come back to what we started off last hour with, because arguments are happening right now in front of the U.S. Supreme Court on whether or not former President Donald Trump should have complete and total immunity no matter what he does. And I know Maggie Dawn will be probably breaking this down much more thoroughly than you and I can. Maggie's a very accomplished lawyer,
yeah,
and will certainly have some perspectives. I know you're going to want to catch that from 2 to 4. And Todd Alba as well. I'm sure we'll be covering this from noon to 2 p.m. Donald Trump's lawyer this morning, John Sauer, essentially suggested that a president could have a political rival killed or order a coup as long as it's an official act. Now, just roll that around in your brain just for a second.
I've been since I heard the audio.
In one exchange, Sauer was asked if a president felt his rival was corrupt, is it allowable for him to order the military to kill this person? And John Sauer said that could well be an official act. Okay.
Yep.
It's fine. Sauer was asked by Justice Elena Kagan, if a president staging a coup to stay in office by using the military deserves immunity, the Donald Trump's attorney said it could well be. So essentially, it's like, whatever. Whatever he wants to do, it's all good.
Their whole opening is just a shrug emoji. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Go for it.
Do we care?
Yeah.
MSNBC legal analyst Ellie Mistal saying, this is insane. Trump is putting in fancy legal arguments that the Supreme Court should grant him absolute power if he's reelected. Justice Sotomayor asks John Sauer if POTUS orders the military to assassinate a rival Is that an official act for which he can get immunity? Sauer, yes. It could well be an official act.
Yeah.
I am baffled by anyone who supports this argument, because then this would apply to President Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Right? And Trump's whole claim that a president cannot effectively do his job if he does not have absolute immunity, I go back to this, that up until Donald Trump, every other president has not had complete and total immunity, and some of them got stuff done.
Yeah. Something that popped into my head while we took ourselves a water break was, if, let's just say hypothetically, it goes through and they say, you know what, click clack goes the gavel, president's got immunity, totally can do whatever he or she or they want forever and ever, amen. How do they not translate that then to the international stage? They say, I'm the president, I can do whatever I want, I can bomb this country, and this country can't hold me accountable. I'm the president of the United States of America. If I can do whatever I want in Oklahoma or Nevada or Portland, I can do whatever I want in, you know, Pakistan and Israel and England, because I'm the president.
And I want to.
You're only going, I mean, it's an egotistical position of power anyways. You do this, you are only going to attract more and more just like vile people who are, I mean, literally going to become Marvel villains. We're not far away from Dr. Doom coming in trying to run the country then.
Even Fox Faux News, Howard Kurtz, essentially saying this morning that he believes this is a losing case. Based on SCOTUS questions left and right, I see no way the court would grant a president absolute immunity. The examples, including election fraud, bribery, coup, assassination, forces Trump's lawyer to admit these are private acts that are not protected, though he insists that official acts are.
But another piece that just kind of popped in my head. Don't you think it's kind of funny slash ironic that the Supreme Court is making a decision on what is and what is not like immune behavior from a group of 9 people who has shown deep, deep corruption and the inability and inflexibility to let other people come in and say, you're doing this wrong. We need some order here. Nope, we're fine. So it's the Supreme Court telling the president, you need to keep it down.
We're the only ones that have complete and total immunity and lack of oversight.
Exactly.
And lack of ethics or ethical standards to which we can be held because no one's above us.
America.
It's a good job.
The greatest country on the earth.
Some other things going on that also broke right before we came on the air this morning. The New York State Supreme Court today overturned Harvey Weinstein's 2020 conviction on felony sex crimes. A 4-3 decision found that the judge presiding over the case allowed prosecutors to call as witnesses a number of women who said that Weinstein had assaulted them, but their accusations were not part of the charges against him. Now, I am not a lawyer by any stretch of the imagination. Isn't that hearsay?
It sounds
How is that even admissible? Again, well, this is a question for Maggie Dawn.
So I asked you like a 2-part question on this one, and I'd love to hear. I have a feeling like that'll be the first thing she addresses without me having to ask it, which is, one, if this is an overturnable offense, why would the prosecution do it in the first place? And two, why wouldn't the defense called it out in the second place, immediately said, this person can't be a part of this. I'm calling for a mistrial. They're not part of the complaint. So that's what, so we're years away. We're years removed from the whole thing. He's rotting in prison. And then all of a sudden someone said, but you know what? How did everyone miss it?
Isn't that what the whole appeals process is, though, is you're looking for something to pick at?
But it seems like such an egregious. Yeah, I mean, yes.
It does seem egregious.
Yes, it seems like an L1 mistake to me, that first-year law school mistake. That's what it sounds like to me, and everyone missed it.
The appeals court determined Weinstein had not received a fair trial. The 4 judges and the majority wrote that he was not tried solely on the crimes with which he was charged, but instead for much of his past behavior. Unclear how this is going to affect Weinstein. He's 71. He's currently being held at a prison in Rome, New York. Not a free man. In addition to the possibility the DA's office may try him again, in 2022, he was sentenced to 16 years after being convicted of rape in California.
So he's gonna stay in prison because he was convicted of other things.
Of other things. Yeah. Not just
he's this, not coming out of prison.
Not just this case in New York.
Yeah.
Weinstein accused of sexual misconduct by more than 100 women in New York. He was convicted of assaulting two of them.
What? That's like serial killer type stuff. Like, we think he killed 42 people. We got him on two charges.
But again, it doesn't appear that he's going to be released from prison because he's still serving time for this conviction in California. For all women who banded together for the Me Too movement, this has got to be a big disappointment. But again, I feel like this was mishandled.
Yes, agreed. And I am not a woman, but I also, there a question for the women out there listening. Is there a party that says, yeah, of course. You know what I mean? Like
surprised.
We have our moment. Here we are. And someone says, but they screwed up. Of course they screwed up. Because that's what happens when we're trying to get stuff done. Someone finds something, you know? Yeah. It just feels like such an egregious admission of process that I don't understand how anyone, even court reporters who have seen trials happening for decades, like, no, you can't do, like, no one said, no, you can't do that.
Again, I'm spitting in the wind because I am not a lawyer and I don't have a legal background, but that just seems, again, to allow these women to testify who are not part of this case.
Yeah.
I don't understand why that would be admissible.
Also, yeah, because like you can allow people to testify. Like if I'm suing you, like they're witnesses, they're people who have a story to tell. I didn't know they had to be part of the original complaint. It almost seems like it would be what do they call it when a bunch of people sue? You're part of class action.
Class action suit.
But yeah, it just doesn't make sense. And I feel like Maggie Dawn and or Jim Santel would be like, let me take you through it. Let me break it down to you in one sentence. You'd be like, I get it now. Simple words. Thank you.
Well, and as one of our texters said too, the amount of legal ease, it's so confusing unless you know the lexicon, unless you know the jargon. It's like reading a foreign language, at least when I have tried to look at some of these legal briefs. That's why we have very smart people who go to law school and can deal with those confusing words.
I can understand like 25% of it. And I feel pretty proud about that.
You should.
But yeah, I'm planning on listening. If I assume Maggie is going to cover it because it's a big story. But if not, then we'll ask her anyways. I just would love an explanation because this is, it's one of those things that makes you go, huh?
Andrew from Maine texting in, going back to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court case has never been about granting immunity, which Trump has shown daily since leaving office. He does not believe, given his constant whining about the current administration prosecuting him, this has always been about delaying the criminal case until after the election. You got a good point there, Andrew. Yeah. And that's always been his MO in court. It's delay, 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 and hopefully the other side runs out of money. When we return, baseball trivia.
Sorry, very hard turn.
I know, hard turn. All right, stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Matt Nair on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the conversation, call, text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We do have Paul Noonan going to be joining us at 11:33 from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports. We'll talk about the Bucks and their playoff run. We're one each, right? Game three is tomorrow.
Yes.
Game three is tomorrow. And we'll also talk about the NFL draft that is going to be happening tonight, starting tonight. Mm-hmm. And then Caitlin's shoes.
Caitlin Clark's. Lucrative shoe deal.
Although I saw one guy saying, like, she's getting ripped off. I'm not quite sure how
on
that
works. On the
shoes
or on her pay for the basketball team? We'll talk about more in a
while. Okay, we'll talk about that with Paul Noonan coming up at 11:33. We do have baseball tickets right now.
Two of them.
We have a pair of tickets for the Brewers game. They're hosting the Yankees at AmFam Field. This is for Saturday night's game at 6:10. If you would like to win the tickets, you do have to call. This is a call-in trivia question. Greg Bach, let's hear the question.
The question is, who won the most games on the 2022 Brewers pitching staff? This is a multiple choice. So,
all right.
Your choices are, for who won the most games on the 2022 Brewers pitching staff? Is it A, Brandon Woodruff, B, Corbin Burnes, C, Adrian Hauser, D, Devin Williams, or E, my mother, Jacqueline Bach. You don't know this about her, but she pitches a mean pitch. So, okay. Who won the most games on the 2022 Brewers pitching staff? Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burnes, Adrian Hauser, Devin Williams, or my mom?
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you would like to play for these Brewers tickets, Brewers hosting the Yankees Saturday evening, 6:10 at AmFam Field. Call right now, and you've got a chance to pick up those tickets. And then Calvin will get all your information, and we make sure that you get those tickets before you head out to the ballpark on Saturday.
We got a fun live stream comment from Tony Zimmerman. A fun fact about the Milwaukee Brewers is that they're the only team in Major League Baseball that was originally founded as a club in the minor leagues before being promoted to the majors. And in fact, the Brewers was the name that back in the early 1900s, a minor league team called the Milwaukee Brewers.
I did not know that.
Yes, indeed. And then, you know, they were the pilot. Then we bought the Pilots and they came here.
Look at your wealth of baseball knowledge.
I should have been hanging out with kids in high school. Instead, I was just in my room watching television.
You were a lonely child.
Yeah, I'm a lonely adult. All right.
Don from Madison is on the line for our trivia contest. Good morning, Don. Thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
No problem. I'm doing great. So what are my choices again?
All right, here's the question, Don.
The question is, who won the most games in the 2022 Brewers pitching staff? Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burnes, Adrian Hauser, Devin Williams. And my mom.
I'm going to say Devin Williams.
Sorry, that is incorrect.
Sorry, Don. Better luck next time.
We will be giving away Brewers tickets all season long, so please try again.
All summer long, we will have Brewers tickets, 855-752-4842. If you would like a shot at the trivia question, now you've got a little better odds because one of them is out.
You can still pick my mom, though.
You can still pick Mrs. Bach if you want. Terry from Cross Point is on the line. Good morning, Terry. How's it going?
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Pardon me?
I just said, hi, how are you doing?
How are you guys?
We are good.
I'm great today.
Good.
I'll be better when I win two Brewer tickets.
Do you need the question again, or do you know the answer?
I think it's Woodruff.
Ding, ding, ding. You are correct, Terry. Good
well
job.
Well done, Terry.
Who do you plan on taking to? Who do you plan on taking the giving the ticket to? Wow, that's hard. Words are difficult.
Oh, my husband.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
Do you hit many games this season, Terry?
We try and go to a couple. Yeah. So maybe two or three.
Yeah.
So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. I haven't been to AmFam Field in a really long time. I'm curious about the food, Terry. Is there one thing when you go to the ballpark you have to have? Because I've heard the food has gotten so good.
Wow, that's a tough question. I guess I just go with a brat.
Nothing wrong with that.
There,
yep.
Right?
Yep, nothing wrong with that.
I had a beer braised brat with secret sauce, mustard, sauerkraut, and a little bit of raw onions. No, sautéed onions.
Ooh.
Oh. Well, Terry, thank you so much for calling. Stay on the line. Calvin will get your information, and we'll get you those tickets. Thank you so much for calling. Have a great time. And also, if you can and want to, take a picture of you and your husband at the game, and you can post it on social media and tag us at Civic Media US or at Matt and Air on Air. We'd love to see what you were up to while you're having fun at the game.
Sounds like a plan. Will do. Thanks.
Thank you, Terry. And again, hang on. Calvin's going to get all your information so you can head out to the ballpark Saturday night as the Brewers take on the Yankees. And thank you so much for listening. Big news.
Huge news. Huge.
Milwaukee Public Market.
What happened?
Voted best public market in the country in USA Today's 10 Best Reader's Choice Awards. We have an award for everything, don't we?
I know.
Best corn chip. Best, you know.
The thing is as the kids say, the Milwaukee Public Market slaps. It's a great place to go. I go there as much as I can because I think their food's great. Their atmosphere is great. I am not a paid endorsee or endorser of the Milwaukee Public Market. I'm just a guy who likes open space and food.
For someone who has never been there, is it all restaurants?
No, it's actually so there is quite a few restaurants. There's a little market area where you can get like to-go food or you can buy like groceries in there. I believe it's Mediterranean. There's a great little vegan spot called On the Bus. There's a good little Mexican spot, coffee shop, wine bar. You can sit and have a glass of wine or a drink if you'd like.
Now you're speaking my language.
There's ice cream. There's veggies. There's seafood. There's a shop for like Wisconsin-centric T-shirts and knickknacks and whatnot. If you're leaving Milwaukee that day, don't buy them something at the airport. Go to the Milwaukee Public Museum. Our public market and buy them something there. Go to the museum too and buy something. It'd be fun and educational. But it is very, very, it is a small place.
Yeah, it's not huge.
And it is packed to the rafters with stuff to do in there. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And then when you walk out the door, you're in the historic Third Ward,
which is pretty cool.
Which is a beautiful walking area, lots of other great restaurants. So yeah, check it out. Check it out.
Well done to the Milwaukee Public Markets. This endorsement brought to you by Greg Bach of
Send Me Gift Cards.
News is next when we return all things sports balls with Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. I hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. During Thursday's arguments, Supreme Court justices seemed inclined to preserve some form of immunity for presidents after they leave office, just not the absolute immunity Donald Trump is demanding.
Presidential immunity is imperative, or you practically won't have a country anymore.
Trump in New York City during a break in his hush money trial.
If you don't have immunity, you're not going to do anything. You're going to become a ceremonial president.
In the trial, Trump's lawyers will continue their cross-examination of David Pecker, former publisher of the National Enquirer. For 3 days, Pecker's been explaining the Enquirer's catch-and-kill operation to help Trump in 2016. In Macomb County, Michigan, north of Detroit, Noor Noel Kestu was charged with involuntary manslaughter in connection with a March 4th explosion at a building he owns in which a canister of nitrous oxide was propelled through the air, striking and killing another man. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin schools are turning to restraints and seclusion for discipline less often. The Department of Public Instruction says cases were down about 8% last school year. Tim Pirenboom is a DPI psychologist.
It's only supposed to be used as a last resort when the student's behavior presents a clear, present, imminent risk to physical safety.
The report says most schools reported zero cases last school year. High school athletes in Wisconsin will not get name, image, and likeness opportunities this year. A proposed amendment to the WIAA Constitution failed at a meeting of the governing body Wednesday. Executive Director Stephanie Hauser predicts the discussion is just starting. 31 states allow NIL deals for high schoolers, including Minnesota and Illinois. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Let's go to the movies. If you're looking for something to watch this weekend and no new films or TV shows grab your attention, why not go retro? The 1979 classic Alien is opening again this weekend. The release is to celebrate the film's 45th anniversary. Alien was directed by Ridley Scott and stars Sigourney Weaver, Veronica Cartwright, Tom Skerritt, and John Hurt. If you're lucky enough to live near a theater showing Alien, you will also be treated to an interview with director Ridley Scott before the showing of the film. Kathy Lee Gifford spoke to Entertainment Tonight this week about her new book titled I Want to Matter. Your life is too short and too precious to waste. Gifford said she finally found forgiveness for her late husband Frank Gifford's affair with a flight attendant. To be clear, the affair happened before Frank passed away. I love the way tabloids choose their words. Kathy Lee is an accomplished host and author and creator of Kathy Lee Casuals, which do not offer menswear. So rude. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies to take us here through the overnight. Mid and upper 30s for lows, and we'll have a southeast breeze. On Friday, more clouds on the way. Look for some shower opportunities in the afternoon. We'll see highs in the mid and upper 50s, southeast winds on the gusty side. Currently 35 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
That's
off.
What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules,
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely
you
not. Absolutely
you would just start freaking out. Yeah.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, Sandy Williams will be here for our regular conversation. We'll talk about the overlooked accomplishments of the Biden administration and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Calby on the board. You can always join the show. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform Elon continues to ruin. He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan joins us. Good morning, Paul. How's it going? I think you're a little frozen there. Paul, can you hear us?
Can now.
All right.
Sorry about that.
How you doing?
Doing all right. Apparently, my office building today is not getting great internet. Hopefully, it holds out.
Don't you hate that when you're in the middle? This happens to me at home all the time when it pops in and out for like 12 seconds. And it's essentially annoying. Let's start off and talk about the Bucks. We are 1-1. Game 3 is tomorrow. Do we think Giannis is going to be back or not?
So I do think when he does finally get back, it will be a bit of a surprise just because of the nature of this injury. It's, I think, go out, practice, test it, see how it's progressing. And once he's good to go, he'll be back because, you know, he is the freak that he is. But if I had to wager, I'd guess that he's probably going to miss one more. Progress reports have generally been that he's making progress, but that he's not all the way back yet. That said, it'll be a surprise. Like when it happens, I'm guessing it'll be sprung somewhat spontaneously. So, and I think he's close, but if I had to guess, I'd say he's probably not going to be back for at least one more.
And remind me again, Paul, of what injury Giannis is dealing with.
It's a calf injury. It is related to his Achilles tendon. It's not a tear because he would be done if it was a tear, but it's like a sprained or strained Achilles tendon down there. So, just got to work on that and don't make it worse. And hopefully also when he gets back, hopefully he can still move. That's the other thing that you worry about with him. But I do think it's not quite there yet from rumors, at least.
Dame Lillard had some pretty good games, at least in the first half. So is he finally stepping into his role, do you think?
I do think he did wake up for the playoffs here. It looks like he's putting in the work now, which is good to see. And the second half of that first game where he didn't score at all, I do think that was almost by design more than anything else. The Pacers ridiculously covered him in the second half and left everything else open. I think wondering if he would just try and shoot over double teams, which he didn't, which was smart. And he did have a good game two as well. The problem with that game was really that the Pacers just shot the lights out, which it happens once in a while and you tip your cap and move on. But that's not their usual shooting percentage, especially on threes over the course of a season. So I think if Dame keeps playing this well, even without Giannis, they'll have a decent chance in every game.
Well, that would be good because there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people very excited and crossed fingers and crossed appendages, hoping that they're going to be able to take another one.
Hopefully so. Hopefully they can steal it. And it's only been two games. It's a small sample size. But he really does. Dame looks like he's really into it. Like he's playing better than he's played all year, which is kind of what you were hoping. Like hope with the Bucks was always that they'll get through the regular season, they'll get a good seed, and then they'll kind of turn it on when they get to the playoffs. And it looks like that might actually be what happens, which would be great.
Well, go Bucks. We want to see this get done. We would like to see another ring.
This is five games, right? Out of five?
I feel bad for this. This is out of five, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I don't know that for sure. I got to double check that. I have forgotten. Like, they moved it around more than once.
Here comes Calvin.
It's a seven-game series.
It's a seven-game series.
Seven-game series.
So they changed it. They actually did change that from five when the Lakers got a scare in the early 2000s. But I thought they'd gone back to five at some point. But I was like, no, it's seven. But I'm not 100% sure. So, Calvin, thank you. It is seven.
That's a lot of basketball for the first round.
The five was knocking out too many high seeds. That was the issue that they found there. It was too random. So
when a team doesn't get their way, they get to say, no, we want to do it this way. And NBA's like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Pretty much.
Oh, that's good to know. Paul Noonan is here from the Acme Packing Company, and we're talking all things sports. NFL draft is tonight. Calvin, I know you will be watching this, correct?
I'll definitely watch the first 10 picks or so, but then it kind of slows down.
So who are you watching for? Who are you hoping for?
Well, I'm a fantasy football fan ahead of a Green Bay Packer fan. I'll admit that. So I'm most interested in where the quarterbacks are going to land in the first round, particularly Drake May and Jaden Daniels. I think someone's going to overdraft J.J. McCarthy. I think that's a mistake, but I think it's going to happen.
What do you think about Calvin's picks, Paul?
Calvin, I think, is basically correct there. Yes. I, honestly, from a real football perspective, I'm terrified that Drake May lands on the Vikings, that the teams ahead of them mess this up to a degree that allows Minnesota to get there. With a lot of quarterback prospects, especially the more raw ones, we usually say, well, they'll be okay if they land in the right position. Minnesota's the right position. Like, Minnesota, I think, is well set up to make a lot of the quarterbacks who have some flaws in their game work out okay. I actually think McCarthy would be okay there. But Drake May would be, like, a potential perennial all-pro if he landed with Minnesota. So to the extent you have rooting interests in the draft tonight, you definitely want Washington or New England to take Drake May. 100%, a million times over. And you want J.J. McCarthy to fall to the Vikings, or Jaden Daniels, honestly. I like Jaden Daniels, but he has a couple of, I would say, major flaws in his game. The main one being that he takes more sacks than anyone else on earth. That doesn't tend to work very, very well.
Should there be a special prize for that, Paul? I just feel, you know, I don't know. There should be some acknowledgement for that.
Unemployment.
We call it the Justin Fields Award, actually. After
hey-o!
They're a little more similar than people like to give him credit for. The other thing you want to root against in this draft, early on especially, is the Bears getting so the Bears are going to get Caleb Williams, who is a good quarterback, and they really can't screw this up. They've basically said they're taking him. They should be all right there. But they also have the 9th pick, and if they are probably going to get one of Rome Odunze, Washington's excellent receiver, or Joe Alt, Notre Dame's phenomenal left tackle. And so if both of those guys are gone, they can screw up that pick. And that's what I'm rooting for early in the draft, is for the Bears to screw up their 2nd pick. That would go a long way toward making me happy.
Anything else we should be watching for?
The Packers have so many options. 25 is just an area where there's going to be a lot of good players all kind of on the same tier, especially offensive line-wise. I think the odds, I said last week, they'll probably take an offensive lineman. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up trading up for Cooper DeJean. There's just been a lot of smoke around him. He is a defensive back for Iowa. He is very good. He can play a cornerback and safety, and he's been in for visits. He's like a prototypical, he fits a need for them. But I don't think he's quite going to make it to 25. So if there is a trade up, I think it'll be for him. I also won't be surprised if they just trade back for more picks, because at the end of the first round, the guys kind of flatten out a little bit, and they're all of fairly similar level. So if somebody wants to jump up, they'll be doing some deals there.
The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan is our guest. He joins us every other Thursday at this time. Big decision regarding high school sports in Wisconsin. Paul, can you explain what that means?
So the Wisconsin WIAA voted to not allow name, image, and likeness money for high school students, which it was a little surprising. Apparently, a lot of other states have adopted this. I'm not that surprised, just because of there's been a backlash against the college NIL policy. I think justifiably so. College sports is a mess right now. However, it's tended to be less of a mess in high school, just because for most high schools, you can't transfer, you can't leverage things into, like, basically free agency. And so all it would have allowed mostly is for high school students to get a smaller amount of money from local businesses and things like that. That's not going to happen. And honestly, it's probably fine. It's one thing, college kids are adults. They are grownups. Them getting paid for work is fine. The college students, of course, can work and be paid, but this is actually school. The high school athletics are bigger than they used to be, but that's fine. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon, and that's probably good, because the big mistake college made was being so hardline on kids not getting paid for so long.
Yes,
that the way that the current NIL functions is really like the black market that existed. It just made light in front of everybody, so it's not organized. There's not enforceable contracts, everybody's a quasi-employee with no recourse one way or the other on living up to NIL money. High school wouldn't be that way. because you have to play at your school and, you know, you can't really just move around schools. But I think high schools generally should take a lesson from college. And before you implement it, do have some level of organization as to how payment's going to work, how advising kids is going to work, some financial literacy training, probably not a bad idea. But yes, keep the black market aspects out of any market that does develop.
Yeah, the whole some financial advising, especially for these young athletes, I worry about that all the time. And, you know, you end up hiring an accountant, the your cousin's friend who, mm-hmm. you know, went to school, and then, you know, yeah. things do not go well for you. And so that should be a requirement for all these kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad idea to just have that, generally speaking, across the population, yeah. but certainly for a bunch of 15 and 16 year olds that might be getting paid, but not in Wisconsin, at least for the foreseeable future.
Caitlin Clark, basketball superstar, getting a signature shoe as part of an endorsement deal with Nike. Clark went to the Indiana Fever, number one overall in last week's WNBA draft. She's going to sign this 8-year, $28 million deal, joining the likes of LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, Elena Del Don, and now her own Nike shoe. Is this a good deal for her?
Absolutely. This is a great deal for her. And one of the good things about basketball compared to the other sports, generally speaking, is good, depending on what you're looking at, but it is a star-driven league. And in terms of women making progress against the men, it's one of the probably easier, not easier, but if you are a star, that's the one you want to be a star in, because you can leverage that. Like, you know, Michael Jordan started it with his own shoe. She's really following in the footsteps. And this is, you know, Caitlin Clark becoming the bona fide star that we saw her become. I think there was some skepticism among at least a small part of the media whether she would be able to actually leverage her post-college career into something this lucrative. We saw, like, Darren Revelle, who is a financial reporter, not the best one, said basically she should stay at Iowa. She can get paid more there. And a bunch of smarter people said along the lines of, no. And, like, endorsements continue. She is the star. She is the excellent player. And that has proven to be the case. And this opens up the door, because I think this is going to work. Like, Nike's not going to lose money on this. People are going to buy Caitlin Clark shoes for a long, long time. And this opens up the door for so many other people to do that as well, which is great.
Well, and Greg had asked a question when we were kicking this around before we went on the air on whether or not they will be available, the Caitlin Clark shoe will be available for both men and women.
That is actually a good question. I don't know.
You said you would buy a Caitlin Clark shoe.
Absolutely. I would totally buy a pair of Caitlin Clark sneakers. Absolutely. Maybe they'll make them in, I don't know what my shoe size would be in women's shoes. Like, I think I might
be like, not want me to buy her shoes, but, you know, that would be too cool for me, perhaps. Totally on board.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And they should, I mean, I said to Jane earlier, women can go and buy Jordans. Let's make it available for everybody. That'd be so much fun.
Well, and when I've seen, you know, just some of the fan reactions and among kids, and it's not just little girls who are all excited about Caitlin Clark. It's little boys too, mm-hmm. which is great. It's just a good thing all the way around. It really is.
And
yes, it is.
And you said something like she is absolutely a star. She's a superstar. But the thing too is that like a lot of those guys, I think you just mentioned, you said like, they make their money on those endorsements. I mean, some of them get paid a lot from the NBA, don't get me wrong, but like some of them get paid to wear watches too.
Yeah.
I mean,
Paul Noonan joins us every other Thursday at this time. He writes for the Acme Packing Company, and we talk all things sports. Thank you so very much, Paul. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. See you
Stay
then.
Close when we return. Weather and wine with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. That's up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board. You can always join us. Call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. It's absolutely free.
It's absolutely free.
Nice one, Greg Bach. And it gives you the ability to call and text directly all across the network to whatever show you're listening to, whatever station you're listening to. And as we like to say, the Civic Media app probably won't change the course of your entire life, but it shouldn't make it worse.
Thanks.
How's that for a cell line? How's that?
That's great.
Come on. Brittany Merlo is here for Weather and Wine. She is our Civic Media meteorologist, and she joins us every Thursday to give us a little update. It was chilly this morning.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. My gosh, I'm tired of the cold mornings, right? I want to start planting. I'm ready for spring, but we've got another one for parts of the state again tonight.
Who is going to be affected by this freeze now?
This is definitely going to be into the Fox Valley area, Green Bay, down along the shoreline in Milwaukee. You could see some of that, but mostly north, falling into the upper 20s tonight.
Whoa, baby.
It was frosty this morning when I left the house.
Was it?
Yep.
You could see it on the grass.
Saw it on the grass. Back car window was needed the defrost.
A little frosty. Well, hopefully after this, we'll start heading in the right direction. What does the extended, at least going into, because I know we're supposed to get some rain then too.
Yes. We've got a soaker headed our way this weekend. So today's the day to be outside doing stuff, enjoying the nice weather. After today, it's pretty much over. I mean, you could squeak out a little bit of nice walk maybe on lunch tomorrow, but storms are pushing in. Winds are going to start to increase tonight as this big low pressure system is only taking off and moving into Nebraska tomorrow, but it's going to affect us from that far away. So that means as it's moving through the entire weekend, we're going to see showers, thunderstorms. It's going to be a soaker at times. Some storms could turn severe. And we're also looking at another system trailing right behind it for Sunday, Monday. So it's just going to be dreary, dark, you know, thunder. I like the thunder.
I like thunderstorms too. But what concerns me is that, and I would assume that there are still some parts of the state that actually need the moisture and are still a little behind. I don't think we're in drought anymore, but there are still some pretty dry spots. But it's like a nice 1.5, 2 days of a soaker and then a couple days to dry out. And then the next round of the soaker would be preferable because the ground just gets so saturated. There's nowhere for all this water to go.
Absolutely. So we are going to see those chances of some rivers starting to rise, which is fine because I know a lot of rivers across the state now are still pretty low at this point. So I'm not too worried about rivers flooding, but that will be happening. And then, of course, the drought, like you mentioned, we are about 19%, I believe, the entire state. So just 19% of the state is dry. That's amazing. I mean, yeah. I don't think we've been that well since April, May of last year. So
well, that's good news.
good conditions there. But like you mentioned, we're looking at anywhere. Here's how the rain's going to go tomorrow to Saturday morning. We're looking at about a quarter of an inch to a half an inch. We'll get a little drizzle throughout Saturday, but then Saturday night and into Sunday, Monday, where it could be anywhere from 2 to 3 inches of additional rain. Yes, those storms are going to be packing heavy downpours. They could turn severe. Right now, the Storm Prediction Center put us into a slight risk, which is pretty elevated here for us for Saturday and into Sunday. So keep that in mind. It's going to be real rough out there.
I want to tell you also, and my husband loves your forecasts.
Oh, thank you.
He brought this up out of nowhere the other day, and I was in the kitchen, and he came in, and he said, that Brittany, I like her. I like her forecasts. She gets to the point. She gets right to the point and without too much messing around. And I said, well, that's because she has 30 seconds, but okay.
Do you know what? I'm gonna add to that. What I like about the forecasts you give is that you just did it now where like someone might be like, you want to hear a secret? I got some gossip. Instead, you're like, you want to hear about the drizzles coming up this weekend?
I got to tell you the down low.
I got some weather secrets I'm going to share with you.
No, but he really loves that you don't spend a lot of time. You know, I think the TV weather people drive him crazy because they take so much time at the beginning of every newscast. And he's like, just get to it. Just tell me tomorrow.
I'll give you a little secret. Because I was a TV meteorologist, they want you to, they just tease you for the first part. We're not even allowed to get to the point. It's just, how do we get you to stay for the whole newscast? He's right on the money.
I've tried to explain that to him, that there is method behind this madness. And he's like, I don't care. They should all do it like Brittany does it. So, okay, well, we will call them.
Brittany Malone will be starting a master's class in meteorology presenting and just good humor funnery.
Brief, concise, and to the point.
Yes, indeed.
Brittany Merlot joins us every Thursday at this time as we head into the weekend. Let us know what we're going to be expecting. Thank you so much, Brittany. Really appreciate it. We will see you next Thursday.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You as
Bye.
Well.
Bye.
Real quickly, laughing tap.
Yes.
If you want to laugh.
At a tap.
You can go this weekend.
Get tickets now because the early Saturday and early Friday show are sold out. Tonight's Thursday. That last time I checked, 10 tickets. I'm saving until the very last second here. And then the late show is Friday and Saturday. There's 5 shows all together. Friday and Saturday late have tickets. Early Friday, Saturday is sold out.
Wow.
Tonight has 10 tickets left. And the reason why is because we have one Mr. Michael Longmire, who is a cast member of Saturday Night Live, coming to town. Yes. He will be here doing 5 shows.
That's cool.
And as I said, 10 tickets left for tonight. Friday, Saturday early sold out. Friday and Saturday late, still available. Special event. I believe tickets are $25 at the door. Or $25, period, if I'm not mistaken. But yes, it's going to be an amazing time. He's a fantastic comedian. This is one you don't want to miss because he is a current. This is our second or third SNL.
That's a big guest.
Employee, yeah. Yeah.
LaughingTap.com.
LaughingTap.com for all your comedy needs. Come on down. Say hi to me.
All right. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and to our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you so very much, everyone, for calling and texting and for listening. It genuinely means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay with us. News is on the way next, all across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll do some recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, then all things entertainment with Matt Miller. Make sure you join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.